Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your girl Mitzi, and this is Mitzi. Let's think about it. Today, we are thinking about addiction in the family. You know, this is a big topic because sadly to say, it's happening more often than not. You know, families are affected by addiction around them, and we need to think about this. You know, so luckily for me, I have Kathy on my show who's going to be sharing her perspective and letting us know a little bit about her book that shares her experience about this as well. So thank you so much, Kathy, for coming on my show. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess to rip off the band-aid, I have to ask you, what really made you want to write your book when you could have just kept your stories to yourself?
That's a very important question, actually. There's two parts to that. So I have, I'm going to back up a little bit. I have three children. My oldest daughter is now almost 7 years sober after struggling with addiction. My middle daughter has never experienced addiction. And my son spent a number of years in addiction before he passed away 7 years ago now at the age of 21 from a drug-related death. So I began writing my book after his death because it was one way for me to start to make sense of it, not just how he lived in addiction and how that impacted me, but also how he was in recovery and how that also impacted me. The lessons that he brought into our whole family when he was in recovery started our whole family down a recovery path, and that will continue for generations to come. So he had brought a hope to us through his recovery that I wasn't ready to let go of. And I wanted to share that hope with others because there were so many years where I felt completely hopeless living with his addiction. And why I think it's important, that's why I wrote it, but why I chose to really put it out into the world is I think it's incredibly important for us to share our stories in whatever way we feel safe and able to do. Not everybody is going to put a book out there everywhere, but because there are so many of us and yet we feel so alone. And when we can connect with others who have shared these really difficult experiences, we can feel supported and we can feel understood. And that is the foundation for healing.
Yes, I like that. I like that very much, just because not a lot of people acknowledge the fact that their child is going through this. You know what I mean? We talk about, you know, people see it in the news or they see it all over the place, wherever they may live, that, you know, like people are struggling with drugs. You know, it's a big epidemic that society's trying to handle and buckle down. Yeah. And people don't realize that the families that are attached to that human being, because they're still human, that human being that's struggling at the moment, because that's what it is. It's at the moment. You know, unfortunately, I'm sorry for your loss that your son, you know, got taken from this. But, you know, I'm so proud and so happy to hear that your daughter's 7 years sober. Wow, that's a strong one. You know, my husband's 3 years sober, and you know, and sometimes he's like, it's some days are harder than others, but you know, it's the push to keep going forward that is what is mm-hmm. keeps going, you know. So I completely understand that this is a conversation that's most definitely needed, and the fact that you wrote a book so that other parents can have that community, you know, because let's be honest, we need to start making a community and make it known that the family is not at fault, or the family is not a big trigger. Sometimes stuff just happens. So I guess
And even, you know, the child themselves is not, you know, there's no way that Tristan, you know, when he was 15 and entered his active addiction, he was not at fault either. He was a victim of circumstance and genetics and trauma. And, you know, and it certainly was not my fault. Maybe I did everything I possibly could have. And so do most parents. And yet we you know, there's the shame, there's the stigma attached to parenting youth in addiction that keeps us quiet as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So I'm just curious, because you know, a lot of the times when people associate parents to their child that's struggling with addiction, they usually say one or two words: abandonment or enabling. What does that make you think about when you hear that?
Well, I think that parents generally get a bad rap anyway, and particularly mothers. I think if any child exhibits any negative behavior, people are very quick to blame the parents and blame mothers in particular. And when it comes to drug addiction, it's tenfold, because I think nobody wants to recognize the fact that drug addiction can happen to anybody, that drug addiction can and does happen in good families. And I use quotation marks if anybody's listening, because good families is a tricky notion. Like, what does make a good family? Does it upper class affluent? Is it, you know, like, honestly, but it does, addiction can happen in any family, is I think a better way to say it. But people don't like to recognize that. They like to create a distance. They like to say, oh, that happens to other people, not us. Yeah, and yeah. And then they like to find a reason for it. And if it's, you know, blaming the parents is a simple and easy excuse. It is absolutely 100% not true. There is not, you know, I have spoken to hundreds of parents and mothers at this point, and there have been not a single mother that has not cared deeply, you know, and done everything. And I have talked to, you know, people who have shown the tough love, people who have been enabling, people who have, you know, tried everything. The reality is, when you have a loved one who is in active addiction and who is operating from a place of addiction, you have no control. And that is another really frightening aspect for parents. And I think for people outside looking in, like, we always want to think, oh, if we just did this, or if we just did that, it, you know, things are going to change. And the frustrating and frightening reality is that is not the case when you are dealing with a loved one in addiction. You really have to come to terms with your lack of control.
Yeah, most definitely. And I love that. I love the way that you put that, because I'm a mother, you know, I have two young boys, and to know that one day they're going to grow up and make their own decisions, good or bad, that I have to stand there and just deal with it, you know, and that's kind of basically what you have to do. You have to see it unfold, but you can help as much as you can. But in all actuality, it comes down to that individual is now an individual. So yeah. That person has to make up their own mind and decide for themselves when they're ready. And people don't want to accept that. And it's hard. It's hard as a parent, because, you know, we see them, we love them, you know, we watch them grow. And yeah. To see the hurt that we can't fix, you know, see the pain that we can't feel, because they only feel that, you know. And that's a topic that people don't talk about. As parents, we don't talk about that enough, because, you know, I'm so sorry. I thought I had my phone on silent. I'm so sorry. I'm going to just silent.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. But
oh, you didn't? Okay, good.
I think that's one of the reasons why parents don't talk about it so much, is because of the judgment, right? It's like, you know, when I was parenting Tristan, when he was a youth, 15, 16 years old in addiction, if I tried to talk to anybody, all they would do is give me a whole bunch of ridiculous advice about how I should be parenting differently, and that would make a difference, as if it never occurred to me to ground my child, or never occurred to me to take away his Nintendo. Like, honestly, that it's ridiculous. If for people who live in that situation, the advice is ridiculously misplaced. So there's no point in talking about it to people who don't understand, which is why I think it's so important to develop a community of people who do understand.
Exactly. We need to create a better understanding and a better voice and a better light to this darkness, because it's so dark that people don't even want to acknowledge it at times. You know, they live in denial, like, oh no, my child doesn't do that, like you said earlier, like, no, this will never happen to me, it only happens to such and such type of people. But in reality, no one's exempt from this, you know what I mean? No one is exempt from drug addiction, because it can happen.
And you know what, no parent is exempt from denial either. I'm a fairly logical you know, practical, pragmatic kind of person. And yet I lived in denial for quite a long time with Tristan. And, you know, I certainly was an enabler, if you want to, if you want to stick a label on it. And looking back, you know, people, even now, like historically, you know, going through the drafts of my book with various people, it's like, oh, some of them were saying, well, don't you want to say how you should have done it differently? And it's like, hell no, because what I did was the best I could. And exactly. What every parent does is the best they can. And if a parent, you know, operates from a place of love and intention and purposefulness with their child and addiction, they're freaking heroes. So I'm not casting judgment or blame on myself back then, which means I'm not casting blame on the mother who is struggling today or tomorrow with a similar situation.
Exactly. I think that's really well said, just because you are doing the best that you can at that moment. You're only given so many tools by the circumstances that you were raised by, or the environment that you are exposed to, the perspective that you decide to have growing up. You know, all of this is very subjective. And I think when you stop beating yourself up as a parent, I think that's when you can start, like, truly start healing within. I mean, is that right? Because I'm pretty sure you had to get to that point where you need to start realizing, you know what, Kathy, it's time to do some self-healing. I mean, you got to that point.
I came to that kicking and screaming. I was, you know, I really had no idea how lost I was to myself. And it took Tristan entering rehab. And then I joined the parent group in his rehab treatment center as a way to better understand what Tristan was going through, better, you know, as a way to be a better parent in recovery. You know, in other words, I joined this parent support group for Tristan. And I quickly became apparent that it was not about him. In fact, it had, you know, little to do with our kids. It was learning how to be the best we can be for ourselves again. And that was, I do write about that in the book. That was certainly a life-changing period of time for me, where I was able to step back and try to realize that I was responsible for my own life, regardless of what my children were doing or not doing. You know, the only life I was responsible for at that point was my own.
Exactly. I think that's a great, you just have been having great points after great points. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this, because as I keep saying, it needs to be said. You know, people need to be thinking about this. You know, family and addiction is a real, real topic. And it's not about being a hot topic. It's about being a real topic. You know, these are real conversations and real books that need to be said. And I'm glad that you didn't change your book by what you should have done, by what you really did, because you needed to be authentic. You know, more people are, that's what they do. They sugarcoat, cover coat, make it pretty and bubbly so that people can accept it. But people, when it's real and gritty and it's ugly and it's pretty and everything in between, people are like, meh, it's boring. But boring's real. It's what really happened in your life. It may be boring to hear, to watch, but it's not boring in my life, what I experienced.
I don't think it's anything about boring. I think that it is dramatic. I think that addiction is pretty damn dramatic and dark. And I think when you are dealing with things that are dark and dramatic, when you're able to come out of that, things are really bright and light and joyful. And there's that contrast. And there is nothing, I have never been more grateful and more appreciative of the joy and the beautiful things in my world than I have been since learning to come to terms with Tristan's addiction and then trying to come to terms with his death and grief. And you know, it's not one or the other. You know, you can have grief and joy. You can have pain and pleasure. You know, we are complex creatures. Yeah. We can have more than one emotion at a time. And I found that I have certainly been far more aware of the good things in life after having experienced the really bad things.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that, because sometimes, sadly to say, people don't get to see still the good after the bad, but for you to say that you're still able to see that, and that family group was more for the parents, you know, helping them re-guide them for their own reconnection with themselves is important. You know, I'm glad that they did that, because, you know, sometimes they make it seem like, oh, the parents, like you said earlier, are to blame, but in reality, we're just doing our best and really trying, and we need to focus on that healing within ourselves, because we're learning as we're going. People don't realize that parents are learning as we're going. Like, we're figuring this out. Oh, is it working today? Great. Is it not working today? Oh, okay. Well, let's see what happens tomorrow. So I guess, you know, I guess back to the topic of addiction in the family, you know, when did you realize that the addiction around you was becoming a lot for you?
Well, specifically with Tristan, I mean, Tristan was the catalyst for our family's understanding of addiction in a very different way. So, as I said, my oldest daughter struggled with addiction. She used drugs recreationally through her teens, problematically, drug and alcohol, but I never, at that point, I always thought she would grow out of it. It was a phase. Tristan started using drugs recreationally when he was 14, and by the time he was 15, he was in full-blown addiction. So where my other daughter and other people I knew would kind of dibble and dabble and take their time, Tristan spiraled very, very quickly. So for him, he just physically and mentally, he reacted very differently to the drugs. So when he was 15, he had been kicked out of three schools for drug-related charges. He had spent a lifetime since he was 5 years old practicing martial arts, which was his passion, and he was losing interest in that. He stopped going to school, erratic emotions, angry, all of the things. And, me, I tend to be a fairly creative problem solver at, eventually when I realized that this was not a phase for him, and that took some time, more time than it probably should have. But when I realized that, I knew he needed help. So I tried my best to get him into addiction treatment centers, but nobody will take people without their consent. So at 15, he didn't think he had a problem, even though he basically had already lost anything that he cared about. So what I did is I investigated what else I could do. And I ended up taking him over to China to study Kung Fu with Shaolin monks because that had been a passion of his. So I was there with him for 5 weeks and found that it was a really great place for him. So I left him there and he spent his entire 16th year in China, in a small town studying Shaolin Kung Fu, which was a fantastic experience for him and gave him a year to be drug-free for him to grow and connect and, develop some successes that he could come back to. But it never did actually address the root of his addiction. So by the time he came home, he hadn't even unpacked his bags before he had gone out and gotten high.
Yeah, I can see. It's crazy to see how you go out of your way. I mean, you found a place in China. I mean, what parent does that? That's determined.
Parents
Sorry.
anything, right? It's like when there's so many roadblocks that you're in the States, I'm in Canada, our healthcare systems are different, but I think right across the board what is clear is that a kid cannot if a 15-year-old does not want to get addiction treatment, they're not going to get it. There's nothing you can do with it. There's absolutely nothing you can do as a parent. So I needed to find something. And that was my solution.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot. I hats off to you because I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't even know what I would do, to be honest. I mean, my kids are way too young to even think that far. But goodness, I give you props because it shows that you were determined. Like, I'm willing to send you to the across the earth to make sure that I can do what I can do. At least I can live knowing that I tried. And I applaud you for that because you can have that peace of mind that you did what you could to try. And as a mother, I would do the same thing. I would do exactly the same thing. And I love how you also describe the difference between your daughter's addiction versus your son's addiction, how one was, in and out, it's not really that serious versus the other one that was this real quick, real, real, real quick, and it just shows the difference. You know what I mean? It just shows the difference how addiction can here in our family very differently. And I think just paying attention to that is important. So, I mean, if there's any teens, because I have young folks listening to me as well. I mean, if you can give young folks some advice before actually going down this hill, this spiral with drugs, I mean, what tip could you give them?
Interestingly, I think that for many kids, like before they go down that spiral, they don't see it coming, right? So they're on it before they can, before they know, and then there's very little they can do. I'm not about to say don't ever use drugs. Of course, Yes, if you can not use drugs, don't use drugs. But if you are, or if you do, I think the two things I would say is, one is, please don't use alone. And if you can get your drugs tested, there are so many, there's, you know, it's not just an addiction mental health crisis happening across North America right now, but there is a very serious toxic drug crisis. So that whatever you are buying from the streets, you do not know what you're buying from the streets. So the first thing I will say is get your drugs tested if you can. Please never use alone because somebody can be there to help you if things go bad. And reach out for help. Like don't hesitate to reach out to help for help and to admit if you're struggling. And there are people who can help you.
There you go. I like that. It's there. That's very wise words to share amongst the young folks so that they can really truly think about this. You know, you were honest. You know, hey, I can't tell you to stop doing drugs. Can't tell you to stop because you probably are doing it. But you know, be smart about it. That's it. You know, be smart about it. Make smart decisions. You know, because that's
And ask for help because
yeah.
so many people like there is nothing to be ashamed about in addiction. And our society tells you that there is, but they're wrong.
Yeah.
Addiction is a disease. If your body reacts differently to drugs, your psyche reacts differently to drugs, that's part of your body. That's not on you. You deserve just as much help as anybody who has a broken leg or any other, medical condition, because that's what it is. So,
Exactly. It is a condition, and people need to start seeing it that way, you know. And I think this is a great conversation. So I'm curious, if you could tell your younger self anything, what would you tell your younger self?
that's going to say, hold on, it's going to be a ride. I don't know.
Right? Let's be honest. Get ready, Kathy. It's gonna
That's
be a ride.
yeah, but if I had to do things differently or give any advice to me, it would be to again find the people. Like, don't keep things inside. Find the people who understand. Share your story. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing that you have done, I have done, my kids have done that has not been done before. And just find the support you need.
There you go. I like that. I like that very much. Thank you so much, Kathy, for this time. It has been a really great conversation. Thank you for your authenticity, your transparency, just being your true, honest self and sharing it with me and my audience. I really hope that people take this into consideration. If anybody's curious about the book, please check out her website, check out her book. I'll have a link all on my YouTube channel as well as on my website. You can find her lovely photo and boop, boop. So, and check her out because you can have content to keep on thinking. Because that's the point, is to keep on thinking, y'all. That being said, bye.